Black Bear Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram presents Tribe Talk, covering all things in Bridgeport Indians athletics. Now, here's the host of Tribe Talk, the voice of the Indians, Travis Jones.
And we welcome you to episode number 18 of Tribe Talk, the podcast, our weekly conversation about Bridgeport Indians athletics, back after a week hiatus. Coming up on the program today, we have got a lot of good info for you. We'll get you up to date on all the goings-on since we last spoke in the fall sports at Bridgeport High School. On our final segment is a lot of teams nearing their postseason. One already has concluded their regular season and postseason, so we'll check the scoreboard coming up in our final segment. But very excited to talk with Mr. Garrett Friend. He is the director of bands at Bridgeport High School, and we're going to talk Bridgeport Marching Band on the program today. They're coming off a great fall performance schedule, including a big victory at the Mountain State Forest Festival in Elkins, and also they've been doing just a tremendous job on Friday nights at Wayne Jamison Field. So wanted to spend some time on this podcast to tip our hat and spend some time recognizing those fine young men and women at Bridgeport High School that play their hearts out each and every Friday night and at the various competitions with the band. So that's coming up on this episode, number 18. Garrett Friend joins us on Tribe Talk, the podcast. Garrett, thanks for taking some time. And as I mentioned, big champion of the Mountain State Forest Festival, that band competition there. But if you would, just give us an update on everything that the band has been up to here in this fall performance season.
Yeah, so we, the Mountain State Forest Festival was definitely the biggest highlight of our season so far. They were able to come away with parade grand champion, second place in field show. And then the points worked out so that they were overall grand champions. So they'll be the honor band at next year's Forest Festival. The next week, we went down to Winfield High School and ended up placing third out of the 20 bands that were there. So that was for us, it was a surprise. We didn't think we performed as well as we could have at that event. And then to still come away third was a really great surprise for us, and so the kids have enjoyed that a lot as well. A few other things we do, we usually go to the Fairmont Band Spectacular, which is an event where lots of bands get together, perform their field show, and not for points or anything, just for a community event, and a lot of times those bands will use that as a fundraiser. And we've done the same thing at University High School and at Liberty High School this year.
Tell the folks a little bit more about the Mountain State Forest Festival Championship. And in my understanding and talking to people that know a lot more about it than I do, I mean, that's a highly competitive event, and that is a blue ribbon championship, so to speak. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's an all-day event, so there's a parade in the early afternoon, which means we're on buses first thing in the morning. So we have a parade event where we compete. You'll go by a set of judges, and honestly, it's just a snapshot in time of how your band's performing when you go by those judges. So whether it takes 30 seconds or if you have a car in front of you that is holding up the parade, it just depends on how long you actually get to stand there and play for them. But it's a pass and review. And then there's a break, and they usually place the bands in the field show based on what time you go through the parade. So we had a later performance time at the field show that we were able to see a lot of the other bands. The kids got a little bit of downtime. Our boosters provided multiple meals through the day to keep the kids energized. And then we were able to just go out, do our field show, and that's for several of the same judges, but additionally, they judge our auxiliary, which is our front line, our percussion, our drum major separately, as well as music, marching performance, and visual performance and general effect. So lots of categories to be judged in, and all of those points get combined and aggregated. And then at the end, we ended up doing quite well. So
while you're doing that parade route, do you have a separate performance for parade than you do, you know, say a halftime field performance?
Yeah, absolutely. So the halftime performance is a 10-minute show that we start. Honestly, we start the planning phases for that in January or February every year, and then teach it at the 1st of August. So we have to hire a drill rider. We bring in folks to work our band camp and work with individual sections, because we've got a 2-week band camp to essentially get the show onto the field. And we spend the season refining that, adding the visuals. So any of those like little dance break type sections or horn pops, things like that, we get to add throughout the year and just clean the show. As far as parade goes, they got that piece. It's a separate piece. We did Birdland by Weather Report. So they got that piece at the beginning of the school year and learned that. And it's a fairly difficult piece and requires a lot of concentration to get through. It's also higher in the range, especially for the trumpets. So it becomes an added challenge with that as you deal with fatigue. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to add in some visuals to that as well, which helped general effect and helped overall performance.
Talk to me about this year's halftime field show. I know that that's always something that's highly anticipated. Last year it was a good one for my age group, because obviously I grew up with Kiss. I was a big Kiss fan, so I enjoyed that. How do you, tell me more about this year and the selection process. How do you come about, coming up with a fresh idea each year?
Yeah, absolutely. So sometime around January or February, we open up a form online to let our kids suggest ideas for field shows. And some of them are really good and some of them aren't, but we
I'd like to see the ones that aren't.
Oh, it's always an interesting process. So we take several, we look at several of the good ideas that we have and see if we can start. We essentially put several shows together through that selection process, as well as what I'm thinking or our assistant band director's thinking or frontline advisor. So we try to actually piece shows together and see how it would perform, not only with our home crowd, but with a competition in a competition format. So that's always the challenge when we're picking a show, is balancing those two things. We want something that the community can recognize and get behind and be proud of, and something that's difficult enough and requires enough demand that we can perform well in competition. And this year we really were able to do that. We had several suggestions for like Wicked, and Wicked was in there a few times. So there was a show, just an arrangement of music that had The Wizard of Oz and The Wiz and Wicked kind of all combined into a big mashup of a 10-minute field show. So we were able to purchase that and do a little bit of editing to make it fit our band, and then we were off and running from there. Once we realized that's what it was, you kind of have that light bulb moment with your staff that this is what you want to do. This is what you can get really excited about. And then the kids were ecstatic about it too at the end of last year when we told them. So we knew it was going to be a good year. But you have no idea, at the end of a school year, what the next school year is going to bring. And it's and they've exceeded our expectations this year.
Hey, talk to me about the challenges of putting together a good marching band. I would imagine much like a team, an athletic team, you get your musicians together at the beginning of your band camp and evaluate maybe where you're stronger or where your weaknesses, lie. And I'm sure that plays into, I guess that there's thought that goes into that and strategy that goes into that to try to, maybe minimize where you're a little weaker and emphasize where you're stronger.
Sure. Yeah. This year, our trumpet section's strong. It's been building. So we knew it was going to be a strong trumpet section. We knew we had some strong trombone players. So we were able to get realize at the end of last year that we could have something that was brass heavy for this year's field show. So looking at that, you start that process, in the previous school year when you see who's graduating and who you think is going to be able to step up. I mean, just like with, you know, sports teams I was on when I was a kid, and the sports teams here at Bridgeport, you know, you hope that folks can realize that they're coming up and they step up and take ownership of their section and their band. Yeah. And that's what we've had this year. When we get into band camp, we have a whole bunch. We have trumpets and trombones and drumline and clarinets, flutes. So essentially we have all kinds of different instruments, and they play in completely different keys, and there are completely different techniques to playing each one of them. So we don't have the time in a 2-week period to teach every little detail of that. So we outsource help. A lot of my staff this year were friends and former students who were able to come in, mm-hmm. and work with those sections individually. So we'll spend our mornings usually out on the field when it's cooler, and spend our afternoons in music sectionals and music rehearsal, working on the fine points of the music. And that tends to work well for us as we put the show together, because you have a marching facet that you have to teach. So the kids have to be on step. The left foot's on beat 1 and 3, and the right foot's on beat 2 and 4, and they have to stay in step. Horns have to be facing the press box at all times, and we've done a pretty good job of that. On top of that, teaching any extra choreography. So they're doing multiple things instead of just sitting in the concert band playing their horn. They have to do that while moving. And then we add in guard to that. A lot of our girls have dance experience or twirling experience, but they also now have to do that and move and get to the right place at the right time. So everything is, all of their placement on the field is planned down to what we can just plan down to, we call it steps. So we divide the football field into 1-step increments, and then we can place our band from that. So it's essentially a giant game of connect the dots.
Yeah, Garrett, in terms of participation, I know that, you know, since COVID, it's become a national issue for sports, for pretty much any extracurricular activity. It seems like the numbers are down, but, you know, good to report that it seems like that, you know, that we have a very healthy band at Bridgeport High School. And I know that you probably have talked to other band directors that you run into across the state in particular. But, you know, what is the key, or what have been some of the challenges to make sure that your participation numbers are up?
Yeah. So I started at Bridgeport at the tail end of COVID. Of course, I went to school here, so I had an idea of how the traditions worked and how the band program worked. And then Mr. Hazlett, who was the band director here for, I think, 28 years, I just moved over to the middle school. The key to build your with the kids who are already here, you have to do it with those incoming freshmen. So I spent a lot of time trying to get over to our middle school, connect with our middle school families, and try to work with Mr. Hazlett on getting a good product. And we talk a couple times a week on what we're doing in each other's programs to try to benefit each other. We'll take our drum line over or our marching band over to see them. So it really does start with the feeder programs. And if we can have a strong feeder program, you'll have a strong band program at the high school.
Yeah, you're doing a terrific job there. And like I said, congratulations on a great season. Always great to see you guys on Friday night. My understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're headed to the big game on Friday night?
We'll be there. We're really excited. The kids have been talking about it for weeks now. So we're going to be there. Lots of Tomahawk war chant, and we'll try to be the 12th man as best we can.
Yeah, that's great to hear our band in a visiting stadium. So looking forward to that on Friday night, and hopefully you get to play the fight song an awful lot on Friday.
We hope so too.
Thanks, Garrett. Appreciate the info.
Yeah. Thank you.
And best of luck to you and the band on Friday night. We'll come right back and check a scoreboard and status update for all the other sports on Bridgeport's campus. Coming up after this from Black Bear Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
West Virginia is Jeep country, and Black Bear Jeep is the place to go. For a limited time, during Jeep Adventure Days, drive a brand new 2024 Jeep Gladiator for as low as $369 per month. Black Bear Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. We have the Jeeps.
or choose 0% financing. That's 0% financing on the iconic Grand Wagoneer.
Shop 24/7 at blackbearcdjr.com.
All right, let's get you updated. Of course, football, don't need to probably tell you, but the varsity football team has a little bit of a big game on Friday night at Fairmont Senior, taking on the Polar Bears of Fairmont Senior at East-West Stadium at 7 o'clock on Friday night in a battle of 1 versus 2 in the human polls, 2 versus 3 in the SSAC ratings. Again, we do encourage folks to buy their tickets in advance to avoid any lines at East-West Stadium on Friday night, and you can get ticket information and the link where to purchase those right here on the site at BridgeportIndians.com. JV off this week because the varsity was off this week as well. They're back in action hosting the Polar Bears of Fairmont Senior next season, still unbeaten on the year. The freshman football team will play their final scheduled game of the season. That is Monday tonight as the freshmen head to East-West Stadium to take on the Bees junior varsity team at 6 p.m. Since we last spoke, the volleyball team keeps on rolling, now 46 wins, 8 losses, and 2 ties on the season as volleyball wrapped up their regular season with the victories over Preston and North Marion. They're in postseason play coming up on Wednesday in the sectional opener. They will take on the Lincoln Cougars. They are the top seed in the section. Those games will be played at Robert C. Byrd on Wednesday night. All right, cross-country team wrapped up their regional since we last spoke, and 3 runners have qualified for a spot in the state championships coming up this weekend. 2 Bridgeport young ladies, Michaela DeMoss and Ashley McBrayer, earned at-large spots for the states. DeMoss finished 11th overall with a time of 19:23. McBrayer was 20th at 20:16. Meanwhile, William Northey punched his ticket to the states with a 10th place time of 16:08 back in the regionals. Bridgeport boys soccer team saw their successful season come to an end in the sectional championship with a 2-1 loss to University last Thursday. So the Bridgeport boys finished the season at 14-4-4, but a tremendous season after a slow start as Bridgeport had a midseason 8-match winning streak and then finished the season extremely strong with a win over Buchanan in the sectional opener. So bright days ahead for the Bridgeport boys soccer team. Girls soccer team won the sectional championship off the strength of a 1-0 victory over Buchanan Upshur last Thursday night. So Bridgeport, the sectional champions, will head to Monarch Stadium in Glendale, West Virginia, as John Marshall High School to take on the Morgantown High Mohegans. That game is on Tuesday night. That's a note on a schedule change. Originally scheduled for Thursday night, it's been moved to Tuesday night, and kickoff is scheduled for 7:30. So best of luck to Olivia Arbogast and the Bridgeport ladies soccer team as they try to qualify for the state championship against Morgantown coming up on Tuesday night. That's going to do it for this episode of Tribe Talk, the podcast. Again, podcasts drop every Tuesday. We'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Tribe Talk, powered by Black Bear Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Located at 1251 Good Hope Pike in Clarksburg, Tribe Talk is a presentation of Bridgeport High School in cooperation with WVRC Media. We're proud to live here, too.